So some of you might remember back. Some of you, it might be current. When your child calls out to you during the night because he or she is afraid of the stuffed turtle staring at him from the foot of his bed, you remove the turtle, right? Or when a neighborhood child keeps pushing your grandchild around, you ask the other child to go home, right? Or those potentially harmful, powerful tools in your garage, you store them in a way so they won't accidentally hurt others. Or like my mom, and yes, I'm outing her here, we joke with her about this. When you are paranoid that someone is going to break into your house while you're sleeping and steal your purse, every single night you find a different place to hide your purse. In your closet, in your dresser drawer, under the bed, just in case someone might break in. They won't find your purse. When we are afraid of something or someone, we try to neutralize or diffuse by getting rid of that which is causing the fear. Such is the case with Jesus after this story today with the Gerasenes. After what had unfolded in the story, we would probably have applauded, right? The man was healed. He was freed from the demons. Yet the response of those local witnesses to Jesus' exorcism is fear. Not just a wow, that creeped me out a little bit. No, it's the deeply scared, we're going to run him out of town. To us, that might seem a little disjointed. Why are they not happy and celebrate that the man was healed? That he's no longer being tortured by demons. Even if the results are healthier and someone's life is restored, the disruption of the customary ways of doing things can jolt our comfortable patterns and make us even more fearful than before. What is it about health and wholeness that scares us? And it's not just the community of those Gentiles that are frightened, right? But it is also us. The followers of Jesus Christ are often frightened by the presence of Jesus and the movement of the Spirit, for it typically disrupts or disturbs our deep-seated values and routines and the ways of life that we have accepted are normal ways to be and do. Because in reality, including myself, our understanding of what brings peace and contentment is mostly derived from our culture and our context rather than our faith and theological worldview. Examining those ingrained values and lifestyles in the context of our faith is mountain-moving work, hard, hard, deep work. But it is also faithful discipleship. Perhaps our fear of healing is grounded in more than just the understanding of what healing and wholeness can look like, but also that we must acknowledge we are in need of healing. And admit, or maybe even confess, our own legions, the demons of our world and our lives that are much more in control than God. And in a world where confession and humility are taken as weak, our move to be faithful is thereby countercultural. And yet, we need to be able to name the legions and be honest about what keeps us from right relationships with God, with ourselves, and with our neighbor. Those demons could be wanting to make everybody okay, right? Are you that person? and not rock the boat and resist the inevitable tension that comes when we pursue a different understanding of God's ways. Or maybe you want people to approve of your way of life. Or maybe it's our demons that put up walls to compromise and reconciliation that keep us from healing and wholeness. In our brokenness, fear can paralyze us. We do what we hate doing, as Paul writes in Romans chapter 7. Remember that verse? He says, I don't really understand myself, for I want to do what is right, but I don't do it. Instead, I do what I hate. Anyone who has tried to lose weight, quit smoking or drinking, or anything that we know is not good for us, like staring at a screen for multiple hours a day, y'all know what I'm talking about. And those are those easy ones, right, that we can point fingers at. But there are many other habits and behaviors we have in our lives that deter us from healing and wholeness. And when we are willing to acknowledge and engage fears, our crutches, our hiddenness, it leaves the space for redemption to be possible. Some call it the hidden wholeness, this redemption, as the man healed from his demons in our story. One of my favorite commentaries, workingpreacher.org, one author writes, there is a hidden wholeness, as Tom and Merton says, that God wishes to call forth. This hidden wholeness enables those once possessed by demons to be clothed and in their right mind. This wholeness comes often after sheer silence that heals our fears and enables us to see holiness in others. This wholeness asks, what are you doing here? When we have strayed off the path, it listens to our deepest heart's desire, often hidden by fear and hatred, and elicits the healing powers of God in each person and in each community. Even in our deepest fear, it still is our desire, that God-imagining desire, to be healed from our fears and to see and to know all people as God's beloved children. There are ways that we all long for wholeness, for the pieces of our faith that we celebrate but lack. Journeying through fear will allow wholeness to emerge. Perhaps it's reconciliation with a family member, or freedom from debt, or responding to that nudge to leave the comfort of a successful career for the calling of God to something else, or to build and support God's kingdom in a different place. And this is why we gather as community, to remind ourselves of the world that God does desire for each of us, where peace abounds and restoration is a real reality. After taking a minute with God's word today, we can honor that we are both townsfolk full of fear, as well as the demonized man needing to be freed from pain. We long for all the shadows to disappear, the many demons that plague each of us and our church and our communities and our country and all of humanity. In our text, the man possessed by the demons was out of his mind. He was naked, he was unpredictable, he was violent, and he was alone. He was shackled and a prisoner, so others could keep an eye on him. He was so far from any measure of humanity that redemption truly seemed out of the question. But this story reminds us, no one is beyond the redeeming love of Christ. No one. Not this demon-possessed human, not anyone or anything for that matter. God's gift of healing and wholeness is there if we want to do the risky, hard, out-of-the-box healing. The immeasurable love and unending mercy of God in Jesus Christ is already embracing us and calling us out of the shadows and into the light of God's wholeness and restoration. May we hear its call this day and accept God's love.